make touchdowns, and we will do the Lambo leap in Titletown. Move with us, chant with us, and you will be a Packer fan just like us.
Brett and a Brooks and an Edgar and a Reggie Jackson and
Chamar. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. That is Jane Matinair. Vintage throwback to the Pack Arena.
Long time ago.
Long time ago.
92
Did they change your voice?
No, I was much higher then.
Just much higher then. There you go. I need to go find some vintage footage of you in your earlier days. And now we have multiple things. We have the footage of you doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, the footage of you as Britney Spears in 20 years, and some clips of your voice circa Pack Arena. stages. But the reason we're playing the Pack Arena is because it is that time of the week where we do Packers pundit playback. And our guest this week is J.R. Radcliffe, who is a journalist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's a sports reporter capturing stories, social stories, and trending local sports topics. Welcome to our studio, JR.
Thank you. Very excited to be here. I remember listening to the Pack Arena on the school bus in the morning on the way. I don't know if that's a knife driving in your heart there, but I definitely vividly remember when it was still dark out getting on and listening to the Pack Arena on a Monday morning after a big Packers win. I don't know how many of those we'd have this year. It might be a while. I'm not sure.
Might. 3-3. When was the last time we were 3-3 six games into the season?
I don't remember exactly. 2018 wasn't great. I mean, they were 4-6 in 2016 when they ended up going to the NFC Championship game. So they've had stretches like this.
Okay.
I think the concern isn't so much the actual record as it is kind of how they've played and kind of where they're going from here.
Well, I think that's the big thing, that it feels like there's just not energy.
Yeah.
Or
bad vibes, for sure.
Bad vibes. And, you know, being on the outside and trying to have analysis of what these guys are saying or thinking or feeling in, because it's not like it's that different. I mean, Devontae's obviously gone, but was there that many shakeups in the roster to feel like the there's just no one's playing in sync?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, receiver was definitely a concern coming into the year because they were going to be relying on two rookies, one of whom is hurt right now, so that definitely complicates it. And another veteran they brought in who's hurt, so that is an issue. But a lot of the same guys are back. I mean, they're relying on Quay Walker, another rookie, at linebacker. But for the most part, yeah, a lot of guys have regressed, especially on defense. Guys like Devondre Campbell was a first team All Pro guy last year. He's missed twice as many tackles, I think, as he did all of last year already this season. You know, Darnell Savage's safety, they don't have a lot of safety depth, and he hasn't played great. Eric Stokes has struggled. You know, Quay Walker's, there's a learning curve there. I don't know if their defensive line has really been as good as people thought. So it's kind of, it is kind of across the board. And what you're talking about with the vibes, like, you're seeing these little comments, you know, Aaron Jones saying, maybe you should give me the ball, and Jair Alexander and Aaron Rodgers having not like words or anything, but just difference of opinion on how to present something, and what Matt LaFleur says doesn't match up with what Aaron Rodgers says. And, you know, winning tends to fix all that stuff. So it's probably just a product of where they are, but just little dissension that tells you something's up. And I mean, just watch it on the field. Something's up. Like you said, they're completely out of sync.
Well, go ahead,
JR. I have a theory that Aaron Rodgers' haircut has cursed the entire team.
Oh, I have that exact same theory. I agree with you 100%. That is true.
It's hideous. True. It's just hideous.
It's really bad.
Is it worse? Jade said this to me this morning too, and I said I think I prefer this to last year with just the long hair.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
I do prefer the long. I feel like the long hair was a little more just ironic than this. Like, I think he was more in on the bit before. Now I feel like he thinks he looks good. I don't know. It's just a feeling I get.
Do you think this is another Halloween costume?
I don't think it's
Halloween
costume.
It's just a style choice.
You know, I'm happy to be wrong on that, because it is a choice.
I think his stylist was microdosing peyote.
I believe it's ayahuasca is the substance of choice.
Yeah. Thank you, JR. Yes. Something was going on when that clip happened, because that's not good.
It's not good.
I mean, it's such low-hanging fruit to make fun of his haircut, but, you know, it's easier to not make fun of his haircut when he's winning.
It's true. And this is as bad as he's played in a long, long time.
Well, that's the thing. And it's also, I think, did I hear that yesterday's game was the most he's been hit in like 2 years?
Yeah, I didn't see it exactly like that, but he has less time to throw the football than he's ever had, or at least in the last 7 years. You know, you've seen it actually sort of a general decline in the amount of time he has to throw the football. And he's, I mean, he's, as he's gotten older, and maybe even before this, but he's like a lot of quarterbacks, he's not good under pressure, you know, when there's pressure, especially coming right up the middle. He's not very good at getting out of those situations. And he's run the ball three times this year, three actual scrambles. It used to be that that was more of a part of his game, that if they, you know, if things collapsed, he could sort of make something work with his feet, keep a play alive. And he's not doing that anymore. In fact, there are occasions where he's seemingly willfully staying behind the line of scrimmage. Either he just doesn't want to get hit or he's worried he doesn't have the mobility. I mean, it could be a lot of things, understandable things. But the fact is that is not part of his game anymore. And then he's just not as accurate as he used to be. He's not throwing the ball for any length. I mean, this comes part and parcel with the pressure situation. But he's not throwing the ball as far. He's not as accurate outside the numbers. You know, just a lot of things working against him right now.
And so I know people threw this out there, and I don't know if that's actually a good idea or not. But as far as if when he's playing this poorly, is it worth just throwing Jordan Love in there to get some reps?
Yeah, I mean, that's a philosophical thing, because do you give up on the season? I mean, not that Jordan Love is giving up. I think at this point, there are probably lots of people who are like, he's just as good. What's the difference? But I think there's some concern that Jordan Love, you know, might not be that good either. And so I don't know if they, you know, there are only a couple teams in the NFC that are ahead of above 500. You know, there's still a chance for the Packers to salvage this thing.
Well, and that's the thing that I feel like when I talk to people in this segment, or my brother, or my best friend, you know, all the more people, the people who are a lot more invested in football. And I love football, but I don't pretend to know the ins and outs and live and breathe it like someone who is a sports reporter. Yeah. But that it's also just a weird year in general. Like, who would have expected that the Jets were going to be as good as they are this year.
Right. It's always like that in the NFL. There's always these big schedule reveals at the beginning of the year. Like, oh, this is the easy part of the schedule, or their schedule's really light. And it's like, you have no idea. Cause it's going to be, there are going to be several teams that come out of nowhere that are great. Several teams, the Rams are a good example this year, that won the Super Bowl last year, that are pretty mediocre at best. Certainly the Packers are in that category. The Buccaneers are kind of fighting it a little bit. You know, they just lost to the Steelers, which is a little head scratching. So like there aren't many good teams. They could get out of it, but I don't know if we've seen the evidence that they actually are going to get out of it. Just that the situation's not dire yet.
Yes. We're talking to J.R. Radcliffe, who is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter. And why, like, how does the league just go from one year to the next year collectively people are like, well, the league's just not that good. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, it doesn't really happen quite that way. It's more just, I mean, it's easy to have parity in a league where guys get hurt all the time. Yeah. And, I would argue the Packers haven't been hurt by injuries as badly this year as maybe past years, but they're still missing a bunch of guys from a receiving core that I think is dramatically impacting them. Every team has a situation like that. There's so many quarterbacks who are out, you know, it just comes with the territory. So there's always star players that are missing. And in a salary cap league, you can't just get another star player to take that guy's place. So for the most part, I think that's a big contributing factor to the parity, and just the nature of 16 games, you know, like in baseball, six games, if anybody got upset about that, they'd be roundly chastised. You know, that's not even a week of baseball.
Yeah.
And of course in the NFL, that's a very healthy chunk of the season. So that's part of it too. Some of it is just the way it works, the small sample of 17 games. But it's winnable this year, you know, like if the Eagles are right now the number one team to catch, and there's certainly playoff spots available to teams like Green Bay,
Some kind of adjustments. Yeah. Well, speaking of the injuries, I mean, I think like the part where I was like, okay, I think I'm done, is when Randall Cobb just crying, those beautiful green eyes and those crocodile tears of him going off the field to, I think they thought, or maybe he thought that his season was over.
He broke his ankle for
but
sure.
But it sounds like no.
No, it sounds like okay. I mean, good news, and he'll probably miss a couple weeks. If not, I would guess they maybe put him on IR, so that'd be 4 weeks minimum. But look, he's going to need an MRI and everything, so he might have a big time ankle sprain, but no break. So the early x-ray was promising, so that's good.
That is good.
I felt the same way though, Kristen. When I saw the look on his face as he was coming off the field, I felt so badly for him. I wanted to run out there and give him a big hug and say, it's okay, kid, you know, it's okay.
Well, especially because he's been having a great season.
Like,
he is
season.
One of the highlights of the six games so far as how well he's been playing, as if it's like four or five years ago how well he's been playing. And consistency, that was, you know, I felt like that was the, not the, maybe the one, but certainly the amount of reliant, how reliant Rodgers is on him because of the bond that they have, that you could feel that as far as the plays that have been getting made, even in the bad games. And so with that, where do we go? Like, how much of this is attitude versus actual? Because I think Aaron Nagler, who's the first person who originated this segment with me, he just tweeted yesterday, he goes, this team has no heart.
Yeah. Yesterday was really a rare example, I think, where you can say, you can look at that and say pretty confidently that there was just something lacking that was maybe
it was jet lag?
More. Yeah.
Well, jet lag back.
I mean, it's a perfect headline opportunity. I think our mutual friend Dan Schaefer, I think, messaged that out. That would be a good headline. It's perfect. Jet lag, yes. There was just something absent, especially defensively. There was something missing that went beyond scheme and everything. And I'm very hesitant ever to talk about a team's fight and will and heart and desire, because it's just, you just don't know what they're thinking and feeling, and chances are they care way more than we think they do. But yesterday was a really rough one. I think there's a chance that if they can fix their offensive line, everything else will fall into place. Like, Aaron Rodgers isn't as good as he was the last 2 years. He was an MVP last 2 years, so that's asking a lot anyway. He's much, much below that. But I think things improve if they can figure out what's going on with their protection. Right now they have problems. Like, Royce Newman got subbed out yesterday. I think, you know, certainly the easy solution would be to just have Elgton Jenkins, who's been playing tackle and struggling there, to play guard, where he's very, very good, all-pro caliber player, and then have Yash Nyman on the end with Bakhtiari, who's just now getting to the point where he can play a full game. You know, that seems like the obvious fix, mm-hmm. maybe, and I think maybe you'll see more out of A.J. Dillon if that happens, more out of Aaron Rodgers if that happens. The receivers still have to get up to speed. There's still a lot of ifs, but that might be... That, you know, if there's a silver bullet, that might be it.
I mean, adjustment.
Texter from the 608 has a question for you, JR. A friend said yesterday's Packer game was a throwback to the 1970s. What change would give us the indication the Pack can recover and challenge the Vikings for the division, or possibly even make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, so that offensive line thing would be a good fix. I mean, it's not just that. There's still the defense, and they've been very slow to adjust to everything. Like, against the Vikings, first game of the year, they famously didn't man up, play man defense, and have Jaire Alexander on Justin Jefferson. Took them a while to kind of catch that, you know, figure that out. Actually, downfield passing, the Jets really weren't that impressive on Sunday, yesterday. Mm-hmm. So actually, their passing game didn't do anything, which is one of the reasons it's so head-scratching that they lost so badly. So that helps, but, you know, I don't know. Like, they've had, like, 2018 was a really bad year. Like, they've had bad years before. Mm-hmm. I know people don't want to hear that. And obviously, with Aaron Rodgers at the end of his, in the twilight of his career, how many, you know, are we looking at the edge of a cliff where it's a whole decade of bad Packers football? I mean, I'm not going to say that, but I would be surprised if this team bounces back to the point that they're a playoff team. At this point, I would be surprised.
And how old is the Jets quarterback? Is he like 12?
I mean, it's only a couple years in the league for him, Zach Wilson. He didn't have to do anything. He was like 10 of 18 yesterday or something. He didn't even have to try. Their running backs just crushed them. I'm looking up how old Zach Wilson is. I think he's probably like 25.
Well, Jade also, in the segment before you joined, admitted that our Brooke, who is our social media manager, who's typically here, is 22, and that's the youngest person she knows.
She is.
She is a little younger than Zach Wilson, but he is only 23, so he's a young man.
He just looked like such a baby.
Yeah, he used to have the big swooping hair that made him look even a little bit younger. But it's hard to find a good young quarterback. I don't know if he's it. I don't know if he's going to be like a star or anything remotely close to that, but I don't know.
But I feel like they're overperforming as a team this year, as far as what people expect of them. And so who knows, maybe it's just a fluke year where, I mean, Tom Brady's not playing how he typically plays. Right. Obviously there may be some personal issues there to lead to that,
but we don't know.
And so, I ideally it'd be way more fun for this segment if we started winning, as I get to invite fun, cool people like you to come dissect the game. But 2 weeks in a row now we've had to be like, this is not as fun. No. It's much more fun to win.
And the Giants are a little better than I think anyone thought, too. And the Jets are good. They've got a really good defense. Their defensive line is very, very good. They dominated the game. It ends up, I think at the end of the year, it won't look so bad on paper, but 3-3 is, you know.
Well, we just have been so spoiled, too.
It's true.
And I think as we have the Bucs starting this week, which is very exciting, but we've had a couple years now of such exceptional Wisconsin sports. Mm-hmm. And so, all right, well, we got to take our first break. When we come back, J.R. Radcliffe will still be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
And a Brooks and an Edgar and a Red Jeep, Jackson and a Shimmer and a Holmgren and a Jack Pete Jones and a Leroy and a Newsom and a Dorsey. Hey, Pacarena, Hut, Hut, Red and a
Your sports team is vastly inferior. That simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is Monday, so we are doing our Packers pundit playback. And our guest this week is J.R. Radcliffe, who is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter who sometimes covers professional sports and sometimes covers local sports, even young QB, the young female QB from Pewaukee. So I want to come back to that because one of the ones that is about the Packers that you wrote this year that I loved was, why do the Packers not have a mascot?
Yeah, I mean, and there isn't like a clear answer to that. It's not like they've decreed from on high that they will never have anything, a mascot or anything like that. There's four teams in the NFL that don't have an official one. Packers are one of them, and it's been that way for a while. The Jets, I think, this team we just saw is one of them. Giants, I think it's Giants, Chargers are the other ones, but it just kind of worked out that way. I mean, I think just from being as old as they were, they had the history. They didn't need to spruce things up. They tried. They had a Packy Packer.
Packy Packer.
That's right, Packy Packer. He was...
That sounds threatening.
Kind of. I mean, he was a guy who was dressed up as a meat packer. So he had like a big thing of sausage. It was this massive, bulky, overheated costume. It lasted for only a few years. There were some problems. The guy who played Packy Packer said some disparaging things, like basically insinuating that I am representing the actual Wisconsinite, the actual Green Bay guy, and they were like big fat guy with sausage and cheese and stuff. So I think there are just a couple reasons why that just didn't work. But it's just sort of the inertia of tradition. And you know, they don't have one, they don't need one, and that's kind of how it's always been.
And I don't think I didn't even think about it until I saw your article, as far as like, oh yeah, I guess we don't have a mascot, and it's never, I feel like we present ourselves as the mascots as we
the
as
owners
we, as we march. Yes, the owners that have it in our LinkedIn profile that we are Packers owners. The cheese that we wear on our heads. We present ourselves as,
yeah,
all the mascots that we need.
yeah. Or I could see them like somehow making a giant G. I don't know if that would quite work. Just an animatronic G. Is that possible? But that logo, I think, is kind of the thing people think about, or they think about a cheese head, you know, again, like the fans, sort of the fan concept. They picture a bunch of cheese heads or blaze orange, I guess, in the crowd when things get really cold. But yeah, no.
Might as well be at a Bengals game.
Yeah. Who knows?
I remember, I think it was 2015, Niners in the playoffs, the Niners. I was living in San Francisco and the 49ers were playing, it was early 2014, and the Niners were playing Packers in Lambeau, and I was with all my friends who were Niners fans. And
that was a cold game.
It was a very cold game. And I remember just that look of the whole stadium, and you might as well have been in a Bengals game because everyone was in their like blaze orange hunting gear to stay warm.
Yeah. I think the Packers were big underdogs in that one and then lost at the pretty close to the buzzer, I think, on a field goal. But Jordy Nelson had a touchdown.
I thought that was a season we were undefeated going into that game.
The Packers haven't been undefeated in a season. They were 15-1 in the 2011 season, but they didn't encounter San Francisco that year. So I think I could be crossing up some years here, but I'm pretty sure the Packers were the underdog in that one. I lost.
All right, I'll believe you. Well, so when you're not covering professional Wisconsin teams, sometimes you cover high school sports.
It's true.
Is that fun?
So I did that for 14 years. I just covered prep sports. That was my main beat. So yes, it's fun in that it was, you know, something I kind of near and dear to my heart, and I've done it for a long time. Haven't done it since 2018. Every now and then I get down to watch a game, like the state final football last year. I was there. Every now and then I'll watch a basketball playoff, and got to do a story this week when Pewaukee had a young lady, Ava Matz, a senior, who was able to step in and play quarterback, and she did get credit for a touchdown pass. It was kind of a broken play, more of a shuffle forward thing, but it was a touchdown pass. It counts 10 yards, and that's pretty cool. She got a national shout out on ABC News. you know, anytime a girl is in a football game, it's always interesting. A lot of time they're kickers or something like that. In this case, she plays free safety a little bit as well. She's in the free safety group and got in as a quarterback on senior night and made a play. The Pewaukee was well ahead in that game. So a lot of seniors got to play and she was one of them. It was pretty sweet.
Because I think I saw that story as a national story before I even saw it as a local one, because it's like you said, when young women are on high school football teams, they're usually kickers. They're certainly not usually the quarterback. And so what a fun, cool story. Yeah. And we don't have a ton of time left, but I did not expect to have as growing strong opinion as I've been having on kind of the trend that we've seen across high school sports, or high school football, I should say, is teams like Cudahy and Waukesha South ending their seasons early. And like, I know that's kind of out of your purview, but as far as someone who did cover it for 14 years, what is the responsibility between conferences to keep the conferences competitive and let teams that are not attracting the same kind of talent move down, move over, switch to 8-man football? Because it was shocking to me how, at least in the Classic Eight and the dad we talked to from Waukesha South, kind of how hard it's been to make the case to just be in a different conference.
Yeah, some of it is a little rigid. The WIAA has it kind of set up and you know, conferences are limited staff, I would say. There's only a few people who sort of run a conference, so it's not like they have a manpower to really make much of a push one way or the other. I mean, schools, I think, are just, they're just in a situation where numbers are down for a lot of reasons. So we could talk about that for a long time, but you know, either they're moving to 8-man in some parts of the state, not in the Milwaukee area, but in some parts of the state.
Port Edwards is, right?
Port
Washington? Port Edwards.
I don't think Port Washington's the one in Milwaukee. I don't think they're 8-man, but
it might be Port Edwards then.
That would make sense. In northern parts of the state, it's fairly common, I would say, 8-man football and some co-ops and things like that. In southeastern Wisconsin, you just got teams that can't do it anymore. And Cudahy's got some history. They got a pretty storied program. Waukesha South had to cancel some games. It's happening. It's happening more and more. And it's just a pure numbers thing for a lot of reasons. Safety is kind of kind of one of them.
Well, and that's what I said. As far as my, it's one thing to be on a losing team when you're a basketball player or even soccer, but when you're on a losing team with underclassmen and it's football, and you're just getting clobbered by 6'6 D1 recruits.
And for like decades at a time, too. Because Waukesha South has struggled for a long time in the Classic 8. The Classic 8 is just full of monsters. And so if you, for whatever reason, aren't able to attract that talent, it just snowballs. And it gets to a point where it's just like this every year. It's very hard for them to get out of that sort of that rut.
Exactly. And so, it's interesting. I never thought until I had kids that I would be as invested as I've recently become in WIAA sports. Yeah. But it's super interesting as far as how do you problem solve for something, especially when kids' safety is on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just purely, they just don't have the numbers. They just don't have people interested in playing. They don't want to get clobbered, like you said. And the school just kind of becomes known for other things. And football, it's just hard to maintain that. It's fighting a tough battle.
Well, are you excited for the Bucs season to start?
I'd be more excited if they were fully healthy. They're going to be missing some key guys at the outset here. So it's, you know, maybe some tepid enthusiasm. You know, they're a team that doesn't really care as much about the regular season. They're all about the playoffs. So, I don't expect them to exactly, tear up the league or anything, at least in the first half of the year. But, you know, it'll be a change from some of these other teams that aren't doing so well, I think.
All right. Well, J.R. Radcliffe, where can people find you on the social medias or on Milwaukee Journal Sentinel?
I mean, the best place is on Twitter. I'm at J.R. Radcliffe. That's Radcliffe with an E on the end. All my stuff shows up at jsonline.com, so you can easily find me there. Those are pretty much
plug
two
in
places.
Your podcast.
Oh, sure. I mean, I do the Brewers and the Brewers and Bucks weekly podcast for the Journal Sentinel. You can find those in all the usual podcast places, you know, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. We're on the site as well, I think. Actually, I'm not sure of that anymore, but we're where you'd expect to find us. And for the Bucks, we'll come out every Tuesday starting tomorrow.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here in person, and we'll definitely have you back.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be back at 106. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We're gonna grind up your guys in the burger meat. Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that